This is Michael from Colorado. In this episode of Chickens, Beer, Fish Clean, Baseball Cards, Muscle Flexes, Scary Stats, Strong Opinions, and Marginal Analysis is brought to you by the IVMB Patreon supporters. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this, the 413th episode of the IVMB podcast. Buckle up, kids. This thing could get ugly. It has been a very ugly stretch of Cubs baseball. We're going to try to organize our thoughts and share some of our concerns, maybe do a little venting. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
And this is Kurt.
Welcome back, Kurt.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you guys introduce yourselves first, because I kind of forgot who you were.
So you didn't listen to the episodes while you were on vacation?
No, I actually did. We listened to one of them in the car, and then I listened to the other ones when I got back. I think it was three or four. Yeah.
Yeah. Any listener tips you can give us to on producing a better show? Or will we cover those in our production meetings?
Yeah. We'll wait. I don't want to take up the whole episode with tips.
Because I wrote down a lot.
I'll just send an email. No, I actually think you guys did great. It was kind of cool to listen and not be on. And also from the standpoint of being pretty removed, because while I was on vacation, I didn't really have access. Well, I did have access. I didn't have time to watch a lot. So
Kurt's notes are like The Shining. They just say, like, all podcasts and no Kurt makes IVMB a dull boy or something. Like over and over again.
It was cool to be able to use my MLB.TV without, you know, any kind of workarounds.
Right. Use it on my phone. Actually use it on an iOS device. Yeah.
Nice. That was cool.
Yeah. So, Kurt, you could not have picked a better time to remove yourself from Cubs baseball.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say, because I'm afraid people are going to start pointing their fingers at me and saying my vacation was somehow the catalyst of the losing.
Yeah. Coincides with Kurt's family vacation.
But I'm back now, and they won today, so it's all good now.
Good.
Keep that guy watching the Cubs, whatever you do.
All right, so before we get into Cubs baseball, we have a few things to get out of the way. First off, I was in Chicago this week. I got to see and meet a number of listeners. I was up there for the Academy of Podcasters Awards ceremony and podcast movement. Guys, we are the Susan Lucci of podcasts.
That's right.
We
need a few more losses, though.
That's true. I think. I don't see it changing anytime soon. So we're in this very bizarre place where apparently the podcast is finalist worthy, I guess, but never award worthy. But
yeah, I think there should be a new category for fantasy sports, separated from like actual.
Right.
Sports.
Yeah. So the fantasy podcast one, and I actually really
think I think listeners should pick up Anthony Rizzo if at all possible this week. I think that he's going to score you a lot of points.
But only start him Monday through Wednesday of this week.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess the that fantasy football. So I had the chance to see those guys. They were actually at this conference. They did not win. These awards, but I apparently, from what I've heard, I was talking with Pod Vader, which if any of you are sports podcast listeners, you probably know who Pod Vader is, and he was telling me that it's actually a really good podcast, that Fantasy Footballers or whatever.
Corey has no idea what Pod Vader is a reference to.
he made it up. It's him. He's the Pod Vader, the first one. I think we've been finalists for five awards now. We have not yet won, but that's okay. I guess the cliche is that it's an honor to be nominated. It's an honor to be a finalist, and I would say that's 100% accurate. It did not In fact, so this was like a red carpet award ceremony at the Hyatt in Chicago, and there were important people there. I mean, it was hosted by Colt Cabana, which I didn't really know too much about who he was, but I don't know. There was a lot of like NPR people there and those types. So I was actually really nervous about potentially winning and needing to like go up and give, and because I thought that they told
and then
us.
You look down and see Ira Glass just shaking his head.
No, seriously, because I thought they told us that if we won, they would tell us like a week or two ahead of time. And I was like, oh, okay. So, and I didn't hear anything. So I was like, oh, okay. So we didn't win. And then I was talking to a few other finalists and they were like, I never heard that. That's not true. I got the same emails you did. And I was like, oh shoot. So then I was like hurrying up, trying to like prepare an acceptance speech. And then I was talking to like the people we were sharing an apartment with. And I was like the night before, and I was like, you know, I really kind of hope we don't win, just because I was like terrified of going up in front of people and talking. Which they didn't appreciate, because they all wished that they were finalists and winning. So then they made me feel bad for not wanting to win. But anyway, we lost to an NPR podcast. It's called The Season. But I'll tell you what, guys, they totally deserved it, though. They have produced 11 episodes.
Oh, yeah, I would say so.
And wow. The dedication that must take.
Oh man, I didn't know that.
It's okay.
Hurts a little bit.
Yeah, they're an NPR podcast. So they're with WNYC. So you know it's well done. I've never listened, but I don't doubt that it is an award-worthy podcast. So good for them. That doesn't bother me at all. I was just joking. But yeah, I got to meet and hang out with a few listeners at the award ceremony and then at the conference. A listener and fellow podcaster, Phil, he took me out for lunch and we got to talk Cubs baseball. That was really cool. Phil does an intentional parenting podcast. So if you're a parent, I think you might enjoy his podcast. You can find it at intentionalparenting.net. I also got to meet Jay Pat, who it was at the conference. He's up in Milwaukee. He'll be at the tailgate here in a few weeks. And by the way, if you purchase tickets for our tailgate in Milwaukee, you should have received an email from me this afternoon with details. I also got to meet a listener, Derek. He was walking outside Wrigley on Thursday, and I saw him wearing an IVMV shirt and stopped him and talked to him. So he probably thinks I'm really weird, because I was like, oh, hey, nice shirt. He's like, thanks. I said, yeah, I'm Corey. And he was like, oh. And I was kind of.
You, Corey busts out a Sharpie and just starts signing. Doesn't say anything.
Well, I mean, I see people wearing IVMV shirts, but it's typically people I know. And so I was just like really shocked to be just like walking outside of Wrigley and see, like, I saw his shirt first. And then I was like, oh, it's somebody I know. And then I looked down and I was like, no, I don't know who this guy is. So that was really cool. But I do want to thank the Quad City's own Jason Nunn for taking me to Thursday's game. We had front row seats right behind the dugout. It was an awesome vantage point. And it was great to hang out with him and enjoy a soggy, rain delayed extra innings loss. But I will say this from sitting there. First off, I won't talk about that much on the podcast, but I do want to talk to you guys about some of the things that I saw. And like from that seat was really interesting. But one thing that really stood out is that Cahill either has like a terrible bladder or had some sort of bathroom issue, or just has like ADHD or something, because that guy went in and out of the dugout, I'm not joking, like 25 or 30 times during that game, just back and forth. It was so weird. It's kind of weird, because like sitting down there, you don't realize how much activity there is in and out of that dugout. Like even during the innings, like between pitches, there were relievers like coming in and out from the bullpen. It was, I don't know. I guess I've just never noticed from sitting up in the nosebleeds.
I mean, so yeah, that's, maybe he has a pedometer. He's trying to do 10,000 steps a day.
Right. Yeah. He also wears glasses that we don't really see him wear very often. Anyway, that's beside the point. I do want to thank Danny Rocket for hooking us up with a place to stay for the week. He's such a good dude, and You should also be listening to the Sun Ray Into a podcast if you enjoy what we're doing. I look forward to hanging out with him at the tailgate and John Baker Day. One more thing here before we get into Cubs talk, which I would really kind of like to avoid for the entire episode. But I think we need to hash this thing out. We need to provide each other with some therapy, I think. But first, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that Cubs game you want to go to, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and they've created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is the first place I look when I'm checking out tickets for a game. I'm going to a game with a listener, Dallas from Australia, in August, and I've been watching the prices on SeatGeek. I get alerts when the prices on the tickets drop. It's super easy to use. SeatGeek pools all of the tickets from the other sites into one place, so you don't have to jump around to several sites. SeatGeek is all you need, and they let you know if you're getting a good deal. Every ticket is given a grade based on value, so you can easily identify underpriced seats and then grab them. Best of all, listeners of our podcast get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code IVY, that's IVY, all capital letters, and make your first ticket purchase, and SeatGeek will send you $20. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. Okay, so let's get into this. Are you guys ready?
I think so.
Okay.
Bracing myself.
I know.
I'm not ready, but I have no choice. So it's like jumping into the cold pool. Let's do it.
Just jump right in.
I'll tell you what, though. I had the win today kind of helps a little
bit. Yeah. The attitude is much improved. I'm with you there.
Just the W. It's not even so much the game. It's, you know, like the game to me wasn't any more encouraging than the losses that they've had. It's just the fact that they ended the game one more run than the Pirates, and there's a W, and that's all that matters to me right now.
We put out the flag after the game, and Beth, my wife, said we get to leave this out all week, right? I was like, yeah, we do.
So
Wilbur's gonna have a nice run out there,
right?
On the front porch for a while.
Right now it's shielding its eyes from the sun. What is this? Yeah, it has not been a fun I guess 3 or 4 weeks of Cubs baseball. It's been rough, especially it's been rough for the last 2 weeks. Before we get into our feelings and our thoughts, I thought maybe we should actually look at how bad it's been. And I think it's probably a good thing to start this conversation off with some concrete facts. So how bad has it been, guys?
Ooh, it's been bad. Basically, like every facet of the Cubs game has had its struggles. And it's especially tough to deal with since we've seen every aspect of the team clicking, you know, earlier this season. So I'm going to focus on the pitching. I mean, the pitching, there basically are no good numbers. I mean, in the last 30 days, I guess Kyle Hendricks is the only one. He's 3-1 with a 1.78 ERA, 1.78 ERA, but there aren't any good numbers. A couple that stand out to me are that they're third to last in the league in home runs allowed. It seems like they've been giving up a lot of long balls, and that's 45 homers in the last 30 days. The Royals are also at 45, and the Reds are at 52. The Cardinals have given up 18 to lead the league. The Cubs pitching staff is second in the National League in walks allowed, so they've been issuing a lot of bases on balls. And I was thinking, well, maybe the BABIP has been kind of high, perhaps. Maybe that's one reason why they've struggled a little bit or has been a factor, but it's not high at all. In fact, it's lower than average. It's the BABIP is 277.
Huh.
And so that especially just kind of struck me as being a pretty terrible number to look at. One last thing is that the Cubs have had 6 blown saves in the last 30 days, which is the 5th worst in baseball, all of baseball. I guess there's more I could say. I mean, but just those are some of the numbers that stood out to me.
Can I share a couple numbers?
Yeah, please.
Pitching numbers. If you look at pitching war, overall their staff, the entire staff, bullpen and starters, pitching war, the Cubs rank 28th out of 30 in the last 30 days. In the last 7 days, they rank number 30. They are absolute last. In pitching war, starters in the last, so take out the bullpen, which has been bad. But the starters in the last 30 days have been our number 29 in pitching war. So just yikes, one team, man, worse.
But you hear all that stuff and everybody's concerned. And so what does Madden have to say about it? He's emphasized over and over again how he's not worried. He said that the pitching staff, his word choice on this stuff is kind of interesting. He said that the pitching staff has hit a bit of a snag. That's a that's a direct quotation. And also, here's another quotation, and has sprained its toe lately. What? He said stubbed its toe, and he said, well, he was willing to take it to a little bit more of an extreme and say sprained instead of stubbed.
I miss that quote.
That's the first, toes are the first thing he thinks of.
Right.
He's talking about pitching.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you definitely
their toe on the carpet too.
Yeah, but you definitely wouldn't want to like say something about like implying an arm injury. So I guess toe is a pretty safe one.
They have skin knees. Yeah. But yeah, so they sprained their toe lately, and he said he would be worried if there were injuries, but there aren't. He said the guys are healthy. which is weird after saying that they've sprained their toe lately, but. but yeah, he's not concerned. He doesn't seem to be concerned. But I mean, the numbers are certainly very concerning.
And that was kind of, you know, coming back into the fold and watching the games is seeing the losing on paper and then coming back and think, oh, well, you got Arrieta and Lester. You got to count on one of those two to stop the bleeding. You got a couple of aces at the top, and then they go out and they're terrible. And like, as a fan, when you're used to being able to rely on one of the starters just putting an end to it, and then they're sort of like some of the worst. That was the hardest part mentally, yeah. You know.
Well, it's because that was like a
really struggle.
See, because so we got to ease our way into it while you were on vacation, and you just cold turkey.
I know.
You quit come good back, air. Man. You quit good air yet a cold turkey.
We got to slip on into the pot of water when they first turned on the burner. Yeah. Right into the boiling water.
Yeah, it's rough to see. It was like I was watching something else.
You were
somebody
it was something
else. Okay, so overall record, I mean, we can look at a few different, we can go back as far or as close as we want, but let's just go back to June 20th. That's kind of when the downturn started. That was the start of the Cardinal series when they got swept by the Cardinals. So that's 21 games, and in that span, they're 6-15. You know, and that includes a sweep of the Reds, a 3-game sweep of the Reds. So
and today's
outside
win
of that series against a terrible team, they've, you know, been even worse. So record-wise, it's been pretty pathetic. Offensively, I'm kind of just going to focus on the more recent bad stretch, the last 10 games or so. And I'm just trying to sort of like look through and you try to pinpoint what's different. And the funny thing is that offensively, the numbers like batting average, OBP, slugging are all right on track with what they've been for the whole season. So in the last 14 days, their batting average is actually a few points higher than their season totals. So they're getting hits and they're getting on base. The problem is they're not scoring when those guys are on base. And in that 10 game stretch where they went 1-9, so this does not include today's game Sunday. They left 86 men on base, and their runners in scoring position success or lack of was 9-86. Ooh. So, that's a 104 batting average with runners in scoring position over those last 10 games. So, I mean, to have 86 guys in scoring position, you know, and only have success 9 times. I mean, just to have 86 guys in scoring position shows you that, you know, they're still getting on base, they're still moving guys over, but they just could not get them across the plate.
So you're saying that that was the last 10 games for that number?
So that was, last 10, not including today. And in one, let's see, is that yesterday's game? Yeah. I think it was yesterday's game. They were actually 3-for-17. So they scored, but they had 17 chances.
Opportunities.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is in July, which is basically the last 10 games played, they've scored 45 runs in 10 games. And that would put them well above and it would put them in the top half in the National League in number of runs scored in that stretch. But you're just saying that, man, they sure left a lot of them on base as well. Right.
So they had an opportunity to sort of be the dominant offensive team that we've seen before. But then you combine that with the pitching that you just talked about, the run differential was minus 31. So while they did score runs, they gave up a ton more and then left a ton on base. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you look
it could have went a few ways, you know.
Right.
The pitching staff could have been more shut down and they would have had plenty of offense to win. Or the pitching staff sucks, and if you get those a few more of those runs across, you win a 8-6 game, you know.
Right. I mean, like, look at today's game. They won 6-5 in a pretty close game, and they out-hit the Pirates 15-7.
Wow.
Yeah, the 15 hits.
And that kind of goes back to me talking about just how they've given up a lot of home runs, issued a lot of walks. I mean, the pitching has really been the biggest sandbag on the Cubs' cart lately.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I think what makes that pretty clear is, okay, so I talked about the pitching war basically being number 28 in the last 30 days, number 30, dead last in the last 7 days. Any guess where the team ranks in war, offensive war, in the last 2 weeks?
I'm going to guess it's not that bad.
I was going to say that too, but I guess I don't really know how they calculate that.
Well,
like, or how is it based on run score?
No.
Is it based on overall?
Yeah, I don't think it. I don't. Now I'm showing my
batting average and OBP and all that stuff.
Right.
Right on pace. I mean, it hasn't dropped off at all.
Right. Well, okay. So I'll tell you. This team ranks number one in all of baseball in war, offensive war, in the last 2 weeks. In the last 30 days, they rank number two.
Wow.
See, I wouldn't have guessed that. But I mean, within all of that, there's just those little things like Kurt said, like their batting average with runners in scoring position. As far as I feel like they've missed Dexter a lot, and they haven't gotten that good of production from the leadoff spot. Zobrist hasn't done that great. He's had a few games where he's done okay. And then Coughlin, of course, you don't even need to talk about him.
Yeah, and I kind of thought that too. I mean, I was thinking Dexter was hurting them a lot, but then as I kind of looked up these stats, I mean, guys are still getting on
right
ahead of the power, and they're just not bringing them in at the same rate they were before. But then at the same time, you know, like Corey said, they're still scoring runs.
Yeah, I think if you just look at that, if you have any decline in offensive or a run scoring at all in the ability to drive runs in, and your pitching is suddenly the worst in baseball, that's gonna mean some fairly close losses, which it feels like we've seen a number of close losses. I mean, they've been blown out a couple times, but there's been a lot of close losses, and I think that's your formula right there. Worse pitching and terrible pitching and not quite as many runs scored. So I guess, you know, I can honestly say this was one of the toughest episodes for me to prepare for in the 412 episode history of our podcast. It's weird. I have a lot of thoughts and a lot of emotions. The more I keep to myself and the less I talk to other people, the more upset and the more worried and the more frantic I get. And then just in our conversation here, for some reason, I'm feeling more calm. Like, even though we've talked about how bad stuff is, as I was trying to prepare for this thing, I really struggled with organizing things into thoughts that I could communicate.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that you say that because I'm almost the exact opposite. The more I communicate and the more I go on social media and the more I freaked out I get, and the more I stick to myself and just kind of leave that be, the better off, the more calm I am. But well, I think too, I mean, if we'd have done this a couple days ago, we would have a different tone to the podcast. I think we'd be a little more anger perhaps. I mean, I've gone up and down and been from like complete just, I don't know, just pissed off. I think probably like most Cubs fans have been too. Now I'm just sort of like, okay, we get the break, got a win today. So that changed a lot. So yeah, I mean, this, like we've said before, this could have had a very different feel to it, but
yeah, and I think what it boils
been all over the map.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly where I've been. And I guess what it comes down to is I did not expect the 2016 Cubs to play like this for a series, let alone week after week. I just wasn't expecting this. And I was able to stay pretty positive about things up until about a week ago. And it was that series loss to the Reds and then the loss to the Braves on Thursday. That's when it really got me. And I walked the mile back to Danny's apartment from Wrigley. It was like 12:30 in the morning. I was like, should I get an Uber or should I walk? So they just lost an extra innings. And I was just like, screw it. I'm walking. I got to sort through my emotions here. I'm just like anger walking. And I'm like, you know, there's maybe some talking to myself. There may have been some of that. Just picture, you know, a guy walking down the streets of Chicago at 1 in the morning, sweaty, soggy shoes, and probably talking to himself. That was me. Probably scared some folks.
No, people, that's probably pretty typical.
It's okay, man. Here, get yourself something to eat.
But as even-keeled as I like to think of myself being, I still found myself shouting at the radio today as I was listening to the game. So, yeah, it brings out all kinds of different emotions, I guess, all, you know, the stretch has.
So
when it flipped a switch back to like old bad Cubs fan, you know, like not bad Cubs fan, but bad Cubs team fan.
Except it was different
today. I went from previously fully expecting there's no way they lose this game to today, like, oh geez, this is way too close. Like, this is really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it brings up those former emotions of uncertainty and doubt and that didn't happen for the first, 35 games?
Yeah.
But, I mean, wouldn't you think, like, we would have thick skin at this point? Like, Cubs fans in general would just be really tough about stuff like this. But I don't think we are.
Well, and I think that we're not. I feel like we're maybe not as thick-skinned right now because the team did not have to really even try in the first 2 months of the season. You know, it just felt like cruise control. Like, I mean, and we're guilty of it, is we were just like, yep, when August or when October comes around, you know, and it was like, I didn't want to have that mindset at the beginning of the season. You know, you heard all, you know, Cardinals fans I worked with and stuff were like, oh, well, why do we even start this season? Why are we even playing it? Just give it to the Cubs, right? You know, and I was like, no, this will be close. You know, look at how last season was. I mean, the team's better, but I think this is going to be fairly close. Then they got off to that start for 2 months, and it was just like, well, this is a piece of cake. You know, they're freaking like 12 games up, and this is going to be...
It's a dirty trick. Yeah, it's a dirty trick because there were no clues. Like, it's like the movie ending you don't see coming. Right. I mean, I don't want to call it an ending, but it's the plot twist you don't see coming where you have the premise, and it sets you up to have a particular mindset about, you know, the narrative or whatever, and then bam, it just takes a turn that you didn't expect.
This is like the 2016
in the movie dies at the same time.
The 2016
that's
Cubs,
how bad it is.
It's a film, the 2016 Cubs, directed by M. Night Shyamalan or whatever the hell his name is.
The bullpen's been bad the whole time.
Okay, so I had a thought, and it was a good one, but now I have no idea what it was. Oh, I remember what it was. You know, Kurt, you kind of talked about this, like, kind of like bringing up, you know, memories or, you know, just like oh, here we go again. I mean, that's kind of what you were saying, right? Just kind of that feeling of, oh, okay, this is what happens now.
Yeah, that evil thought creeps right into your head. You don't want it there, but it does.
Right. So today I had this like wave of panic for a second. And I understand that this is like totally stupid. And I know that it is. It's wrong. I'm aware of that. But it, for some reason, it just like slipped into my mind. And I think I like started to hyperventilate. I was like, you know, somebody on social media, on Twitter. So I made a comment on Twitter and I said something like, that even in this bad stretch, this team, this 2016 Cubs team is more fun to watch than 2012 Cubs team. And I had a couple people like argue with me about that. Like that this is not any better, more fun to watch than the 2012 Cubs. And so I was thinking like, you know, we were kind of able to, during some really ugly stretches of Cubs baseball, 2011, 12, 13 in there, we were able to kind of like separate ourselves from the Cubs because of the rebuild, because of what was happening, and because we were paying so much attention to the prospects and everything that was going on, you know, in the minor leagues. And so I was thinking like, yeah, it was easier to like, ugly Cubs losses didn't bother me in 2012 because I knew what was coming. I knew what was in place and what was happening. And like, I just had this like wave of panic today where I was like, whoa, it doesn't, like, there's nothing behind this that's any better than what this, you know, there's, I don't know, like, for a second, I was like, what if this is 2012 and there's nothing else to distract myself? I have nothing else to look at and to be optimistic about other than what's happening right now with the Chicago Cubs. And I don't know.
Right, because before you'd be like, oh, well, Castro's playing terribly. Well, they still have Javier Baez coming, and then oh, now they have Addison Russell in the system.
Right.
Well, then, mm-hmm. then it's going to get better, you yeah. know.
Yeah.
But now all that good stuff is here, and it's struggling.
Right. Yeah. And so I understand that that's totally ridiculous. Like this group is way too talented for this to be a failure. You know, like to this level of patheticness. Mm-hmm. It's just not possible. So okay, so I want to pose a question to you guys. Are you concerned? Are you worried? And I think that maybe you can answer those questions by ranking your level of concern on a scale from 1 to 10.
Oh boy. Concerned, a little worried. I don't know, worried to me feels like a long-term emotion,
right?
And I don't put myself in that category yet, because I think moves will be made, things will improve. This team, like you just said, isn't going to continue to play this poorly. However, I have braced myself for a bit more of a fight than I expected after the start. So certainly my attitude has changed, but I'm not freaking out long term, but freaking out short term and just hoping that the holes that have been revealed can be filled or fixed in the near future. So I guess if I'm ranking 1 to 10, probably like a worry, like a 5, like I'm in the middle.
Okay.
I mean that I hope that's fair. Like I there's some worry, but I'm not freaking out.
Right.
You help give me some perspective there, 'cause I think it's almost impossible to make the number very high when we know that we should possibly save that for post trade deadline, you know, like see what the moves the Cubs make and how they come out of the All-Star break to really start to enter into that long-term emotion.
So you're maybe around that same spot. Like
I'm a
5.
A little bit lower than Kurt, maybe like 4.
Okay. See, and mine varies. And it's varied a lot over the last like 4 or 5 days. I mean, I've kind of gone through like, not worried like, oh, this plan didn't work or these players can't do it. It's more of, I don't want to lose this season. And I want this season to be everything, you know, at minimum, I want to see the Cubs in the playoffs. I understand that when you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. That's why what I want is the Cubs in the playoffs. And so I think at like my worst in the last 4 or 5 days, I've maybe been like a 7. I'm not freaking out, but like I said, I didn't think that we would see a stretch like this, and the fact that it's gone on so long, it really does concern me. And I think that I think today's win was huge, because if the Cubs would have gone into the All-Star break with a 5.5 game lead versus a 7.5 game lead, I think that's a huge difference. That is a big swing. And I think that it kind of like makes me a little bit more calm, the fact that it's 7.5 runs or seven and a half games. I mean,
7 over the Cardinals.
Oh, it's, oh, okay. Yeah. 7.5 over the Pirates.
It's 7.5 over the Pirates.
Gotcha.
Speaking of the All-Star game, a lot of people make a lot out of the Cubs having 7 players going to the All-Star game, so they're not getting a break. Have you guys heard people say stuff like that?
Yeah.
Like they, like all these guys need a break. So, they're all in the All-Star game, so they don't get a break. Well, it's 7 out of 25. I mean, that's, so first of all, like all of the bullpen is getting a break,
right?
You know, that's Jason Hayward is getting a break. The role players are getting a break. And some of the guys I would say look pretty fresh on offense, like Rizzo, Bryant,
right?
Maybe Russell, you know. It's Arrieta and Lester, I feel like, could really use a break. But then I was thinking about, it's like the All-Star game, like, it's not exactly stressful, right? I mean, it's not the same as, like, being able to go home to your family and just have a straight-up vacation. But also, it's not the regular season of baseball either.
No, but we don't really know, like, what kind of media stuff they have to do. You know, I don't know what their, like, individual schedules are like during the
still not the regular season of baseball. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but
yeah, I would agree with you. I think probably that it's just another couple of days of traveling. That's
and to the West Coast.
Yeah. But I agree. Like I think it's a mental break for them.
Yeah.
You can see them on the sidelines of the Home Run Derby. They're goofing around, having a good time. Like they've shut that part of their brain off. That's like the competitive part, at least, and they get right. a break from that.
Yeah,
a lot of stress would come from that. And if, you know, I know I would assume they're able to tune that out, you know, or turn that off at least for, you know, these 5-6 days.
I mean, I think that all of the players would benefit from a break. I mean, man, I think they just needed a day off in that stretch, you know, like, yeah. I mean, I think I understand what you're saying, Andy, and I think I agree with you. But at the same time, I think that a lot of these players could use a day off and just... they, especially 3 or 4 days off would be really nice. That said, I think it might do them well, kind of in their heads, I guess, or mentally, to not be away from baseball, but to kind of get away from maybe kind of a down environment. You know, I'll be honest, with those seats that we had with the game I went to with Jason, the Cubs' body language wasn't great. It wasn't always terrible. Like sometimes I was surprised at how much it still looked like they were having fun and stuff, but you could see bad body language, and maybe just kind of like getting out of, you know, just away, still in baseball, but kind of away from, you know, what did you say? 6-15 stretch, just kind of getting away from that might benefit them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, the ideal would be you totally get this almost a full week off, but that's not the case. I don't think that what they have instead is as bad as some people make it out to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the good news is even the guys playing, like hopefully they get home early Wednesday, so they have whatever's left of Wednesday and all day Thursday off.
Right.
Before they get back to work on Friday. And then the next week, the 21st, they get an off day, so... after going, 24 straight without a day off, they get a handful here in the next couple of weeks. So,
yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, that is good. Again, obviously, we're just kind of jumping around all over the place. I do want to talk about pitching again for a second. And just kind of how remarkable it is that, like, all of the pitching has collapsed at once. Such a bizarre thing.
Except for Kyle Hendricks.
Right. And so, you know, I think... is this a sign that that the troubles with the team could be related to the number of games in a row that they've had to play? The fact that like almost all of the pitching staff has just kind of like run out of gas, or is it that other teams are starting to have a strategy that works against some of the Cubs pitchers and maybe some of the I guess pitching philosophy that the Cubs have and what they try to do against batters. So I was thinking about this in regards to Arrieta today. So I looked at some numbers. Last season, his walk rate was 5.5%. And this season it's up over 9%. It's 9.3. That's a huge jump. And I think that one of the causes could be that the batters aren't, they're just not swinging at pitches out of the zone as much. And so perhaps the tape is out on the movement of his pitches and batters are now laying off those pitches. Last season, batters swung at pitches outside of the zone 34.2% of the time. And this year it's 29.8%, which is, a pretty good drop and showing that they're laying off those pitches. And so that can force Arrieta to throw more pitches in the zone. And that leads to hitters getting better contact, more solid contact. And so I guess I just kind of looked at that. That was one thing that kind of jumped out at me right away. And I guess I bring that up to illustrate that the teams really might be figuring out aspects of the Cubs that previously had opponents baffled.
I agree that that could be a factor. I tend to give more weight to the fatigue aspect because of the insane stretch of games that they were on. But I think it definitely is a combination or could be a combination of both of those things.
But you would think the starting pitching would be the least affected by the long stretch because they're pitching every fifth day no matter what, long stretch or not. You get bumped a day because of an off day. But
yeah, but there's still a difference.
Getting your days off.
But there's a difference between an off day and a day you don't pitch.
No, I agree. But I just think of all the players on the team, they should be least affected by the long stretch. I mean, you look at, the everyday position players in the bullpen, you'd think would be the most taxed.
Yeah.
By that stretch.
Right.
But then the sort of like, I don't know, this is totally just anecdotal fan thought process. But as far as Arrieta goes, I sort of think like when he was at his best, no game plan would have beaten him. Like, I kind of see what you're saying, but I think it's really just a control issue. It's that slight little off release, whatever's going on with him. He used to be able to hit his spots exactly. Well, now he's not quite hitting his spots exactly. And I think that's what's leading to the game plan maybe being more effective. But I think when he's on, it really doesn't matter what the opposing hitters do. He's unhittable.
Well, not necessarily though, because if the tape tells you that if you see this, it looks like it's in the zone, but don't swing at that because it's going to end up outside of the zone and you learn to lay off those pitches. It's not necessarily Arrieta not hitting his spots. It's that batters are starting to identify, hey, when I see this one, I'm sitting back on it, I don't know. I see what you're saying.
Like, I think he's off a little.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I definitely agree with you. Yeah.
Because I guess my thoughts is like, it's not like we're seeing dominant Arrieta getting hit. We're seeing not quite great Arrieta.
Just not being as sharp.
Yeah.
I think it's that and the fact that they're laying off. We're both right, Kurt.
Yes, and it's snowballing. But it's tough to go into an ace, your ace starting, and just not know what the hell's going to happen. Like, not just that you may not have a shot to win, he may not even be able to keep you in this game.
Right. That's
tough.
That's why you don't offer him a gigantic contract this last offseason, because now his value is lower. And so some of the people that wanted him, the Cubs, to offer him this huge contract and lock him up are now saying that Arrieta sucks. So
yeah,
there you go.
Oh boy.
Oh man, I wish we still had Samardzija.
Okay, another thing I want to talk about is injuries. Andy, I know that through previous conversation, text conversations we've had, I think that you think that the absence of Dexter Fowler is a significant reason for this. And I'm going to tell you why I don't by that too much. And I think we've already kind of covered it. That
sure, yeah. Tell me.
I mean, the offense is still clicking. Okay, you know, they're still getting on base. And so
are,
what
are they? Ben Zobrist, 298 OBP. Well, last 30 days.
Okay, but I'm just saying, I don't think Dexter Fowler being in this lineup means that they're 15-6 rather than 6-15.
No, I never said that. I don't think, but I'm just saying, I think he does make a difference. I'm not saying it's like it's going to totally flip the record around or anything like that, but I think he is important to the team.
Yeah. So I think that in the injuries are playing a role in this because I think that they have a lot of little injuries that are hurting them. I mean, the big guys, the pitching starters, the, you know, Bryant, Rizzo, et cetera, they're staying healthy and have been very important to this team. But there's been a lot of little injuries, and that's led to them calling up some guys that I think just aren't able to produce at the same level as the guys that they're replacing. So the one that stands out to me, so I mean, they had to bring up Candelario and Almora, who really seem, I mean, I think that in a lot of ways, those guys are MLB ready, and the Cubs have such a deep farm system that they can have guys that are pretty much ready just sitting in AAA and waiting. And I think that we've reached a point with injuries where we're starting to see them call up some guys that most teams would be forced to call up in an injury. Somebody like Jamer Candelario, for example. Did I say Candelario earlier? I meant Contreras. But like Contreras is doing fine. But Candelario, mm-hmm. I don't think he is at all. I mean, I saw him on Thursday night, and he just does not look ready. Right. And I don't think it's ideal to have Munenori Kawasaki on this team. As much as everybody loves him, I don't think it's ideal to have him on this team. I don't think, you know, Coughlin wasn't playing that well right before he got injured. And so they've been able to pull up guys like Contreras and Almora and rely more heavily on players like Baez that are doing well. But it seems like every time they lose somebody to injury, they're kind of being forced to look at guys that just really aren't quite so ready. And so that's where I think injuries are kind of hurting them. This team is a better team with Dexter Fowler on it, of course. But I think that I'd have to look. I think that Almora has filled in pretty well when he's given the opportunity. But I think it's when you dip into that next tier, that was like the prospects that just either aren't as good like Kawasaki or just aren't quite developed yet. If they're going to be like Candelario, just not ready.
Well, I do think one of the sort of things that Fowler does well is like a high pitch at bat to lead off the game. I think that can change a tone of the way a pitcher feels to start a game. Little things like that that maybe don't show up on a stat sheet. That
I think Coughlin can do that too, though.
Seven pitch walk. Yeah, but Fowler was doing so well at it. I don't have any numbers to back this up, but I feel like he was seeing a ton of pitches, still getting on base. I think there's little things like that that don't necessarily translate into a bunch of wins, but maybe it leads to running a pitcher out an inning earlier.
Sure.
Or some little things like that that you really can't look up, that we can't provide a stat for. I think I'm kind of in the Fowler Hurts camp, but then at the same time, the offense has still been okay.
Right.
Which I think is actually a blessing in all of this mess, because if the offense is hurting with this terrible pitching, this could be worse. Sadly.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you guys feel that this is just a rough patch, or does a part of you feel like this is a tailspin?
There's definitely a little devil that is on my shoulder telling me this is part of a tailspin, but I don't believe it. I think it's a rough patch. I don't think there's any way that what started the season as the best starting staff in all of baseball now becomes the worst. I think they regress somewhere to not maybe the best staff, but top 10 staff.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think that's good enough to get them the wins they need.
Yeah.
But they need more depth.
Yeah, and I think because the offense really, although, you know, we've obviously talked about their inability to really just kind of like hit in the clutch or, you know, with guys on base, I think that stuff evens out over a season, and this offense is just as destructive as they've been all season, really. It's just not going well. And when you don't have, it's not going as well as it did before. And then when you have that weak pitching, I think it's a rough patch too. I just think the team has the talent to right the ship. But at this point, after watching the last few weeks, would I be shocked if they continued flailing for another stretch of time? Not really. I mean,
well, they have to come back and play the Rangers and the Mets right off.
Right. Yeah. I think that
at
really
least a lot of the games coming back are at home. So that's nice. As I think they only have one away series up until August 18th.
Wow.
So there's a huge long stretch of games. Like, let's see, they play, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 games at home compared to 3 games away.
Well, and the other nice thing is that the 2 away series coming up are Brewers short trip and then White Sox really short trip.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not much as far as travel goes.
It's pretty awesome.
I think those first 2 series can really set the tone for the second half. I mean, I really feel like the Cubs need to come out strong against the Rangers and Mets.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes without saying.
The Rangers are one of the, you know,
I know,
hottest teams in baseball, too.
Yeah. Sorry, Andy, you were going to say something.
No, that's okay. I was going to kind of change the subject. Is that okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, would you have ever expected to have to defend Joe Maddon as a manager after March and April? I mean, sorry, April and May of this season? Because, like, people are already, like, trying to, like, say his managerial style doesn't work.
Right.
Can you, I mean, isn't that crazy?
It is. I think it's crazy. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about the front office and management and all of this. And I guess part of me wants to say, okay, Joe, here's where you show how good you really are. You know, it's pretty easy for Maddon to manage a team when things were going well. And who knows? Maybe his managing had more to do with the winning than we think. That might be true. Maybe it wasn't just all talented players. But how do you pull this team out of a nosedive? So I'm kind of like, work your magic, Joe. You know, this is where you do what you do.
You know, and he's kind of answered that exact question, you know, in kind of a resume job interview type style recently. In pointing to the 2008 season with the Rays, they were really struggling before the All-Star break, and they went to the World Series that year. So he has a track record of not, you know, pulling teams out of sort of a, not necessarily a tailspin, you know, like we were talking about earlier, but definitely out of rough stretches, really talented teams out of rough stretches. And his managerial style has a track record of working, you know, for example, 2015 Cubs. So I don't really see that people who want to critique him and say that he's maybe a little bit too loose or something like that as really having much of a leg to stand on when he has a track record that sort of speaks for itself.
Yeah, and I would say, too, for the people that are kind of playing the sort of the goofy Joe costume road trip and zoo animal thing, for the people that are really bothered by that now, to me, to abandon it in a time of crisis would just be completely make him just a joke. You know, like,
right.
We knew who he was when he came in. He's been that part of it, I don't think changes. That is who he is. And I think he's being true to his style. And so for him to sort of give that up now, I think would be a huge mistake. So while I can see it would be kind of annoying to see them dress up and travel after a, you know, 1-8 stretch, that, you know, you can't change who you are at this point.
And it's just
in a time of crisis,
right? And it's so hard. It's so hard to, like, evaluate management. You know, we don't have any idea what goes on in that clubhouse at all. And I think the last
all of a sudden he's Lou Piniella,
right? I think the last thing this team needs, a young team like this needs, is somebody like acting like, oh no, like they don't, the last thing I need is someone panicking. And I think him just kind of, and this is what I think good managers do. They do whatever they do when they're good is what they do when they're bad. They're even keeled and they just do what they do, and it tends to work. or not work. but you don't change who you are based on something like this.
With all that being said, though, I hope that he does recognize moments where it's appropriate to be stern and, you know, to admonish players when it's appropriate without totally losing his identity. And, you know, I think that there's got to be some moments like that in these past few weeks where he's had the opportunity to be stern or, you know, point out, you know, I don't know, just use some tough talk with some of the players.
And I think
he does, because I've seen some frustration on his face where, like, you know, he'll put his hands up and shake his head, things like that. Yeah,
he tends to do that.
He's doing that on the cameras on him. He's probably going to have a conversation with that guy later.
Right.
I would hope.
And he tends to do that with Baez a lot, I think.
I know.
I think I saw
it. I will say, just one little note too. I'm sorry. We'll come back to what you're going to say, Corey, but though we don't know what goes on in the clubhouse, we do see him a lot. Like, we see him a lot in the dugout, always going up to a pitcher when he's done pitching, talking to him. And when, you know, when it's a good performance, he's always, you can clearly see that he's congratulating him. And he's just, you always see him like just communicating with players.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think
you're starting to say about Baez.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I saw some frustration, on camera with, Madden with Baez today, but, you know, I think at the same time, I mean, yeah, a manager may admonish a player over something. But I think they're also going to, you know, you might, what's the point in doing that to Jake Arrieta? What's the point in doing that to John Lackey or John Lester right now? I think it's more of like, hey, let's sit down and, you know, let's look at the, I mean, they have this front office that is very, you know, analytics driven and has a lot of equipment and, you know, knowledge and everything in that front office. And I think they're probably thinking, hey, let's use those things. I mean, it's not a lack of effort. It's not it doesn't appear to be an attitude issue. It just appears to be that something's not working. And I think that you don't necessarily fix that by laying into a player, you know? And I'm not saying that's what you were saying they should do, Andy, but
I'm just saying when appropriate, obviously,
sure. Yeah.
Isn't appropriate with Lester or Arrieta. I mean, after their most recent rough outings, I mean, they said all the right things and appeared to have the appropriate attitude toward what happened. But I'm just saying, like, if the instance arises, sure. You know, maybe in the case of Baez or one of the younger players, I hope he's able to, you know, just be stern if necessary. I'm not saying like blow his stack or something like that.
Sure.
But,
and I think he is. Yeah.
I think he can do that without, you know, losing his identity and his, you know, and without, ruining his integrity or something like that.
Yeah. And while we're on the topic of management, I want to say, as far as the front office goes, you know, I think I tweeted something like yesterday, we're like, okay, it's time, Theo, time to make your move. And I kind of said that tongue in cheek. Obviously I feel like it's time to make their move. At the same time, you can't make other teams trade players. So I don't really think that you can, I don't think you can really criticize Theo and Jed right now and what the front office is doing. I just hope that they find opportunities to strengthen the bullpen. And it's really, I mean, it's hard to see them not making moves to make the bullpen stronger right now.
Right. I think people see like the Red Sox being super active and they're like, well, how come these guys haven't done anything yet? But I don't know. I think they've shown they have a good track record of striking at the appropriate time and getting some good deals. So,
yeah, I'm just not sure.
The same. Okay.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm not sure that the patchwork washed up veteran strategy is going to work this year. I don't necessarily want to. I mean, like I said, I fully trust this front office. They are way smarter than me. And honestly, whatever approach they take, I'm not going to really criticize. But I don't know if that's the approach to take right now. I kind of wish that they go get somebody younger, more reliable, less Jason Mott. More.
Hey, Kevin Gregg's back with the team, everybody.
Well, and I think that sort of leads into what I was going to say, in that I hope people understand that if they make a move that actually makes a difference, it's going to hurt a little bit. And I hope that people, right. the people who are saying, you know, Theo Jett, do your thing, understands what that means. That, you know, they're not going to probably, I mean, I've heard that Schwarber is off the table, guys like that, but you know, it's going to hurt a little bit. It's going to sting, at least.
But is especially like if Dan Vogelbach off the table? No.
No. No, right.
Or like, you know, but if you get a guy like an Andrew Miller, who's, you know, widely rumored to be at the top of their list for bullpen help, like the Yankees aren't giving him up for free because he's got a couple years of control and he's been good. So,
yeah,
that's going to take a deal.
Right.
So don't flip your tune and then start complaining about what they gave up after they, you know, try to fix some problems.
Oh, you're asking sports fans to not flip their tunes. Yeah, that's what we do. It's what we
don't
do.
Don't waffle.
It's
I'm just, I'm just, I'm just seeing the future. Like the same people who are saying how you're just sitting on your hands and not doing anything are going to be the same ones that hate the deal.
Of course, none of them listen to our podcast.
Them, I like to just put people into categories of them.
Okay, so
well, I think it's going to be a combination of both. I mean, they're already working on the scrap heap guys, and then they're going to make some moves for some guys, I think, that aren't the grizzled veterans that are trying to get that one last moment.
Yeah. I want to talk about a few positives. I guess the more I thought about things today and looked into things, the more I focused on the positives and I guess I don't want to be accused of like having my head in the sand and looking at positives right now, because trust me, I had my freakouts this week. But how about Jason Hayward? In the last 30 days, he's batting .284. In the last week, this is before today's game, but in the last week, .393. His slash line is .393, .469, .571. Two doubles and a triple. And in the last week, he had no strikeouts until today. He did strike out today. Javi has been playing well in the last 30 days. He's hitting .271. In the last 7 days, .303, .407, .542, two doubles and a home run in the last 7 days. So, well, then Rizzo, my gosh, in the last 30 days, check out this slash line, 30 days, .357, .458, .714, dang. Nine doubles, a triple, and eight home runs. That was before today's game. So it's even gone up. He went 4-for-5 today. The team is, there's still a lot of bright spots and we kind of talked about the offense playing well, but I wanted to make sure that especially Hayward, like he really seems like he's coming around. He had a hit today. I don't know what he did today, but he had one hit where it was like a line out, but he hit it like right into the shift. I mean, it like, you know, he went 0-for-5 today, so that figures that I would talk him up when he
well,
went
he did make 5. That incredible throw. It did not result in an out, but that throw was amazing.
Yeah.
It's a home plate on the sack fly that he almost got him like that from the he was actually over the line, kind of in the corner there, and still made a just amazing throw.
And I think JD pointed out too how a number of the balls he hit, you know, in the past few days would have been hits prior to the shift era too.
Right. I mean, that one today, I mean, it was a great hit and it was, there was, you know, just a guy standing there in like shallow right field. There's not much you can do about it. And
like able to run it down 15 yards into right field. It's
right,
like,
right.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I kind of like, I looked at those things today. I looked at, and I mean, I wasn't like out like, oh, I need to find positive things to make myself feel better. I mean, I actually just looked into the stats and a lot of the offensive numbers were pretty encouraging. And I guess as I kind of took a deep breath and stepped back and looked at some of those numbers, I was encouraged. I fully intended to have an absolute freak out episode, but I'm just having a hard time not seeing this team pull things back together. Too much talent, a lot of issues right now. But I think, like we said before, now is the time to go through this and learn how to recover, learn how to dig their way out of this hole. June and July is a perfect time for that. Preferably not June and July. So hopefully that's the end of it. But
Hey, Jake Arrieta is hitting 385 in the last 30 days.
So. I saw that.
So I'd point that out.
So, I mean, as we kind of wrap this thing up here, let me put it to you guys this way. If I told you on opening day that at the All-Star break, the Cubs would be 7 games up in first place, we'd take it, right?
Oh, sure. Oh yeah.
It's great.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Take one game up, you know.
Right.
In first place.
I mean, it's not to ignore how bad this last stretch has been, but man, it's a good thing the Cubs won so much in April and May that we had that cushion. So I will gladly take 7 games at the All-Star break, and let's just kind of hope they turn things around. I do want to read one more thing here. Wes from the Cubs Fans in Oklahoma group, he posted this today, said the last team to lose 16 of 24 games and still win the World Series was the 2015 Kansas City Royals. So there you go.
That's a good thing about baseball. There's always, with 162 games times 30, there's always somebody that's done it before.
Yeah.
And there's always next month and the month after that. Right. And the month after that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel relieved. I feel like
it was like a therapy session. Yeah. You get it off your chest.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get as ranty as I probably would have a couple of days ago, but I feel like I want to make sure that, like, the people that are out there just feeling like completely frustrated, I get it. You know, I had a lot of feelings of that, and I guess the more I thought about things, the more I actually looked into things, the better I felt about this team. And I think you guys are probably in the same boat.
And you know what? It's gonna do everybody some good to not have baseball in their lives for a few days.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I mean, seriously,
although I have to watch Chris Berman, you know, call the home run.
You don't have to.
Yeah. You don't have to hear back, right, ad infinitum. You can not pay attention to anything baseball, I think, would do a lot of people some good until Friday.
Yep.
So get outside, feel the sunshine on your skin, and enjoy nature, and, you know, reflect on your life and meditate. I don't know, whatever. Just, you know,
just don't watch baseball.
Yeah.
Just relax.
I agree. Just enjoy the other things in life that bring you pleasure.
Right on.
Kurt, do you have a scary stat? I mean, I'm sure it's hard to find one right now.
I mean, I kind of was, I used it up earlier. I was just going to go for the 9 for 86 with runners in scoring position. That was kind of my scary stat. So
that is scary.
Yeah. 86 men left on base. Mm-hmm. 86 is the theme number, apparently.
Do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
I have one.
So I had a few that were general, and now that this, you know, when they started sucking, I had to stay away. So that's a long way of saying, no, I don't, because I just couldn't bring myself to look through the comments and, like, make myself feel worse.
Well, I've got a lot.
Yeah. Maybe that's why you had freakout moments, because you're reading internet comments.
No, I mean, some of these were emailed to me. Let me read a couple that were emailed. Theo sent these, not Theo Epstein. Theo's like, oh, I got to send these muscle flexes to Corey. So these are from, I don't know what they're from. I think they're from Instagram. Maybe they're from Facebook. I don't know. But anyways, Theo sent these in. The one says, let's see, this first one says, and by the way, can I just add that Hayward was a complete bust? Any chance someone else would take him for another bullpen arm?
Oh, a bullpen arm.
Right. So here's one. Somebody says we need a left reliever regardless. Not a lefty, just a left. A left reliever regardless. And the next person says we need relievers. No one cares about which hand they throw with.
A liberal reliever. We need a left reliever.
Joe walks out and holds up both arms. Doesn't matter. Just send somebody out here.
I just love it. Like, nobody, we don't care what arm they throw with. They just need to be good.
And they just need to help the Cubs win the baseball championship.
um I have an in-person muscle flex from the great seats that we had with, or that I had with Jason. Hayward. Okay, so Hayward was, this was late in the game, maybe like the eighth or ninth inning, maybe it was in extras. Hayward kind of jogged in from right field, and then when he got like past the foul line, he just kind of walks slow when he walks back. He puts his head down and he walks pretty slow back into the dugout. And this guy behind us was like, "Run, hustle, Hayward, run," saying stuff like that. And then he goes, "God, he's so lazy."
What?
I was like, what? I know. I was like, "Oh my gosh!"
You should see that guy at work. He hustles all the time.
Oh, it took everything. Like, I don't know, for some reason. I mean, when I sat in the bleachers the last time, I got into it with a couple out there, and with Danny, I was sitting out there, and for some reason, I just jumped into, I kind of started the melee because the lady just wouldn't shut up. And I almost did it this time. Like, I almost turned around. I was just like, you know, every direction you could take that, an argument with a person like that, I almost did it. And then I was just like, nope, these are too good of seats. I'm not getting kicked out. I'm going to sit here and enjoy my coffee.
Nice restraint, man.
Finishing my coffee.
I have a couple of others. Let's see.
Let me say mine. You only have a couple more.
Let me throw out a bad one. Or not a bad one, but it's just real short and quick. So this was like on Cubs Instagram, and a Cardinals fan just comment after comment said L, you know, for loss, you know, because the Cubs lost that game. It's just over and over. And then it said, okay, so it said L, over and over. And then it said W, J, K, L. And then L. And for some reason, that made me laugh.
That's funny. I kind of like it.
I know, I did too.
JK.
JKL. Okay.
Oh, man.
Go ahead, Andy.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, along the lines of people coming at Joe's managerial style. I think that these commenters on this Instagram post are kind of the people who would do that. John Lester had the country night with the Lesters for Never Quit, you know, to support cancer research.
Right, yeah.
Of course, the Flexers had a lot to say about this. So Anthony Rizzo posted a picture holding his significant other, I guess, in his arms, kind of like carrying the bride over the threshold style, you know? And so this was maybe like he had been back one game after being out for having a sore back. You guys remember those couple games he missed?
Yeah.
The sore back. So one of the commenters on this picture was, "Guess your back is okay." He's carrying, he has this like 110 pound girl in his arms. But I mean, just on that same thread, there are all kinds of comments like, "Should be out partying after the way the team has played." And here's another one. "Focus on the game, dude." Oh, God. Like, they're in a stretch of no days off and he goes to a cancer fundraiser. Focus on the game.
Andy,
what are you doing?
Andy,
stop
had cancer.
Saving kids from cancer.
He had cancer. He's a cancer survivor.
What?
He's a cancer survivor.
Right? Yeah. It was comfortable. What are you doing trying to raise funds for cancer? Focus on the game.
Which it seems to have affected him pretty badly, you know, considering he's hitting like 800 in the last couple
exactly.
days.
Right. Yeah, I guess your back's okay. Like the best offensive player in the Cubs.
Oh man!
Last 30 days.
All right, so here's the last one. Unless you don't have another one, do you, Andy?
No, that's it.
Okay, so this one says, this is from Cubs Instagram. Says all of our players, including the manager Madden, just everyone on the Cubs and in their organization should go kill themselves at the end of this game because this game proves how terrible they really are.
Okay. Dude, please take a few days off.
I hope that person is, yeah, that person has to be like 12 years old. That
feel the sunshine like... on your skin.
Yeah, go find some of these like little Pokemon things everybody's talking about.
Yeah, oh, I found a few today. Get out there and find some Pokemon. Maybe Joe will bring some Pokemon into the clubhouse.
When we're done recording, you're going to have to explain this to me because I have no idea what the heck you're talking about.
I see it and I'm like,
I don't understand. I don't even know what Pokemon is. My wife and I had
the oldest person conversation ever. Are these is this a real thing? I thought it was a video game. So that's
pretty hilarious. But yeah.
So that does it for this scattered and wandering episode of our podcast. On the next episode, the midweek episode, we're going to take a step back and look at some of the first half numbers and look ahead to the second half of the season. Yesterday, as I thought about this episode, I really expected to spew some negativity. But as I sorted through things, I kind of came out of it a bit. But it's been tough, Cubs fans. We've endured something not fun at all. So yeah, enjoy the All-Star break. Take a few days off. Spend time with the people you love. Put the last month behind you. Take a deep breath. It's just baseball, and we're all going to be fine. So this episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. If you like what we do here at IVNB and you'd like to support the show, you can do so for as little as $1 a month, just some pocket change. And you, by doing that, you get perks like IVNB stickers and posters and pint glasses. Everything we've brought in through Patreon has gone back into the podcast, so supporting through Patreon means everyone's IVNB experience is better. And if you want to jump on, go to patreon.com/IVNB. That's patreon.com/IVNB. Or you can go to IVNB.com and click on the Patreon link on the right side of the page. So thank you for listening. We'll be back probably Wednesday with the midweek episode, and we'll recap the first half of the season and look ahead to the second half. And until then, go Cubs.